Our first reading today is from Mark 4, 26 through 39. This is in the parable of the growing seed. He also said this, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." And the next reading is from Mark 5, 24 through 34. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people in the crowd against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Please stand for the reading of the gospel. John 4, verses 4 through 29. I'm sorry it's long. Okay, it's a lot of verses, but I promise you it's really good. Now, he had to go through, Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus answered, "And sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." I have no husband. She replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and it has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Please be seated. I know that was really long, and I promise you it had to be done that way. I tried when I was going through my tech studies. It was all about, at least for me, it was the gospel, and I really wanted to talk about this Samaritan woman. And I tried to leave out some of that beginning, and then I tried to leave out some of the end, and parts of the middle, I was like, well, I just won't talk about that. But I really think to get the full message about the Samaritan woman and then the woman who suffered from bleeding, you had to know everything about them and what they have gone through. And just like with the parable of the growing seed, we also go through a season of growing. And it says in there that whether we go to sleep or whether we wake up, we're growing constantly. We don't know how. And I'm sure there are seasons where we just don't really know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going on, but we're growing. And growth is necessary. Growth is necessary. It has to happen. And just like Richard says that he likes to use corn and crops to associate with his sermons, I can't do that. But there are some things that I am good at, and one of them is working out. Working out with nutrition and growing, and people who lose weight, people want to gain weight. It's growing, right? If you want to lose weight, you got to go through a growth process. If you want to gain weight, you got to go through a growth process. If you want to build muscle, you have to go through a growth process. And I wish Mike was here, because I'm about to get into some anatomy real quick. So when we are exercising and doing some kind of resistance training, our muscles start to break down. So people like to say that when they're working out, that's where the growth is happening. It's kind of true, kind of not. Actually, you're actually breaking down those muscle fibers. So all those little muscle fibers in your arms and your legs that connect all the tissues and things together, they have to get broken down to grow. They have to get broken down to grow, which means when you do resistance training, there is pain. It hurts. That's why when you get done working out, you're really sore, because all those muscle fibers that you have in your body are getting broken down and expanded and flexed, and to the point where you're like, I don't know if I can work out anymore. Right? You've done so much work and you're just questioning whether or not you want to do this, but you're like, man, like, I really want to get better. Like, I really want to get healthier. And then you have to. So working out is like, I would say, 10% of what you need to be doing. The 90% is what you do after the workout, right? So the easy part probably for growing crops is, I don't even know, I would say probably planting. But the hardest part is, you know, going through that growth process of day in and day out and cutting and, you know, driving the grain car. Man, it gets to be long. Right, but you want it because you want food for your family, and you want to help other people, just like working out. Like, you want to get bigger, you want to get stronger, you want to lose the weight, you want to gain the weight, but the hardest part is dialing in that nutrition. And that's even for our spiritual growth. The easy part, you know, is going to a Sunday church service sometimes. The hardest part is actually getting in with the Lord the other 6 days of the week. And Bible studies are great, but I really think that for us to grow as Christians, we have to do it alone sometimes. We have to get alone with the Lord. And to grow, there's this pain that has to happen. And as Christians, you know, there's these transitional seasons, right? Life in itself is a transition. You're transitioning from life to death into a new life. It's a transition. When you're a kid and you're maturing, there's growth, literal growth. My older brother, he grew very fast, and he had pains in his knees and pains in his legs. And my dad would come and he would massage his legs, but there was pain. He was suffering. But it's necessary for him to get taller. It's genetic. For him to get taller and to grow bigger, his legs had to grow, and it had to happen. As Christians, for us to grow and progress in life, we have to go through seasons of pain and suffering. Some of those seasons of pain and suffering are by our own will. We've done it to ourselves. Some of them, God brings us through it. And I'm going to say that again. God brings us through some seasons of pain and suffering. Why? Well, he brought Jesus through the wilderness. He brought Jesus through a season of transition. Jesus, who was perfect and blameless, had nothing wrong with him, had to go through the wilderness. He had to go through a season of pain. For Jesus to die on the cross, he had to suffer pain at the hands of people who deserved it the most. We deserved it, but we didn't have to go through that. Jesus already paid the price on the cross. And so we meet this woman who's been suffering for 12 years. And if you read a little bit ahead, or if you read a little bit before and then a little bit ahead, Jesus was actually going somewhere else. He actually, at that time, wasn't even going through to heal that woman. He was actually going to heal this guy's daughter, this religious leader's daughter. And it said in there, a crowd was pressing around him, and he could feel the pressure of the weight of this crowd. And if you can imagine, by then, Jesus was building a crowd. All right, so Jesus, in the 5 years or so of his ministry, I mean, there's a lot of people that were following him. People wanted to be near him. And so there's this crowd that would follow him, and they would just come, and they was just pressing around him, and he could feel the weight. And then you got this woman. So you can, it's not this crowd like this, where this woman is just, you know, easily getting through people. I mean, she probably had to fight people to get to Jesus. When I mean fight, she probably had to push someone off to the side. She might have had to trip someone. Someone was probably trying to stop her, but she was running to get to Jesus. And we probably wonder, well, why would she grab his cloak? Well, Jesus is going this way, and I'm trying to get to him. The best way to get a hold of him is to grab the bottom of that cloak, right? And she touched him because she knew that, if I could just get a piece of that cloth that Jesus has on him, that I could be healed and set free. And she was set free immediately. And she suffered. And what I really liked about that, the beginning part of that verse, was that she suffered at the hands of doctors for many years, and yet she still didn't get better. And I love doctors. I love Western medicine and what God has been doing through it, at least in this season as well. It's really great. But that, I don't think that's the point. I don't think it was the point that I think Jesus was trying to make in that story, and the writer that John wanted to get at, was that she was searching in a place that she was searching for to be healed, to be set free of that suffering, and she was doing it in all the wrong places. Right, what she was actually searching for was Jesus, but she was searching it in the wrong place. And when we're in this the seasons of transitions, it is apparent that we seek Jesus in a transitional seasons. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we, you know, there's this celebrity online that tells me that I can just do this, and I don't need to do that. And so I'm just going to go this way. I'm going to go follow Jesus. And then what does that do? Well, it brings us emptiness and pain and discomfort and nothing that can ever sustain us as a Christian. And
Just like when we seek like a witch doctor or something like that, they will heal me because of X, Y, Z. Well, no, you got to seek Jesus and Jesus will heal you. And she's been doing it for years and years and years and years of suffering. And then we meet the woman at the well. And the same thing. She's been going through years and years and years of seeking men after men after men and thinking that that was what's going to, if she went to this guy wasn't doing it, but maybe this guy will be better and I'll do it with him and everything will be better. Well, as you saw, five times she kept going back to the same place to get a different thing. Like she wanted to be better, but she kept going back to a different person. And that person isn't what's going to heal her. Jesus can only heal her, and she didn't know that. And then Jesus, as he was coming along, Jesus had to go through that area. So if you look at, some Bibles have the distance from different places and towns. So if you look at where Jesus came from to where he was actually going, it was super long. But then there's also these two little things. So you see Samaria, and then you see Sychar. And at the bottom of that ledger in that map, it said about like 40 miles. And so the best you can with your fingers, you just kind of trace it along. And it was about 40 miles on foot. And 40 miles probably doesn't seem like a lot. Like for us, it's probably, like for me, it's probably going to here, and that's not that bad. But by foot, that's a long time. That's a long time. And it said, and I researched it, I looked up, like how many hours would that have taken? At a relaxed pace, it's about 13 hours and 10 minutes. At a relaxed pace. And if you can imagine Jesus traveling with these disciples who can't shut their mouths, who you got people like Peter who are always questioning everything Jesus is doing, and then you got James and John who want to go into a town and kill everyone because they're not following Jesus. And so they're all bickering about who's greater, who's worse, and blah, 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 and they're all bickering in Jesus' ear for 13 hours. My gosh. You think driving in a car for 13 hours is bad with kids who don't know how to be quiet? Imagine doing that with grown men for 13 hours on foot. It's a lot, and it's a long way. And I'd imagine over there, there's probably some hills, and it's hot. And so you got to think about when Jesus had to wake up to when Jesus had to arrive there at noon. He had to wake up early in the morning to get there because he had to go through it. Man, because that's what Jesus does for us. He wakes up early, whether we think he's doing it or not. He's waking up to meet us where we're at. He doesn't wait until we get to the end. He meets us in the middle. And he did that for the woman who was suffering with blood. In the middle of the crowd, when everything was weighing on him and weighing on her, he was there in the middle of everything that she was going through. Same with the woman at the well, and she didn't even realize it. She came there searching for something that she thought she was going to get, but she ended up leaving with something she had no idea she was going to receive. Probably confusing what I just said, but it makes sense. And so Jesus met her there, and it said Jesus tired from his journey. Well, he was probably literally tired, and he just sat. Jesus was human, so Jesus was God. Jesus is God. But he's also man. So Jesus felt things like we feel, which makes him someone that we can relate to in a way, which is beautiful. And he sat there and he waited for her. So she didn't get there and then Jesus got there. Like she didn't start drawing water and then Jesus came up out of nowhere. Jesus was already there when she got there. Man, that's awesome. So Jesus was waiting there for her. And I love the Bible, how Jesus answers a question with a question, and it's rhetorical. Like, it's really funny. I think it's really funny what Jesus said. He said, "Will you give me a drink of water? Will you give me a drink?" And she probably is thinking, "What? How can you even ask me that?" But Jesus could have said anything to her. He could have said good morning. He could have said shalom. He could have said hi. He could have not said anything, but he chose to say something that would spark a conversation that it's a conversation. He said something that was so out of the ordinary, it needed a response. Just like Jesus, or just like God said to Elijah when he was in the cave, "What are you doing here?" And Elijah's like, "Well, I'm blah, 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 blah." He had to answer it. Jesus answers questions with a question, but it's the question that we don't always expect we're going to get, but it's the one that we need. And he asked this question, and they had this conversation, and come to find out, she went through something as well, and she's going through pain, and she's going through suffering, and just like Jesus is too, Jesus is actually going through something as well. He's got people in his own town who can't even accept what he's saying, are actually ridiculing him for what he's saying. He's got, you know, religious leaders, people who are supposed to know God, know the Bible, supposed to be good people, and they're denouncing him in front of everyone. And he's got his own disciples who Peter at one time is proclaiming who Jesus is, and then all of a sudden, right after that, is like, "You're not going to do this thing. Like, I'm not going to let you do it." And Jesus is like, "You don't even get it. You don't understand it." So he's got all these things in his mind because he's human. And then he gets to this well and he sees this woman who's got all this pain, all this suffering, been going through season after season after season after season of trying to fix what she's going through in all of the wrong places. And she says to him, "The well is deep. You have nothing to draw from." And I wonder, is our well deep? Is the thing that we've been trying to draw from deep? And it's so deep that we can't think that we could ever be healed of it. And it happens. It happens in transitional seasons where we went through one season that God healed us from, and then we go through this other season and we're just like, "I've never done this before. What are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh." And right now, I'm going through a season, I'm sure everybody in this room and everybody online has been going through a season. They just don't know why. And we've been trying to draw our strength from a place that isn't going to give us anything that we would ever need. And she was trying to draw water from a well and receive this water that was only going to give her make her thirsty again. And the point of it isn't the water, because as humans, we need water and we need bread. Literally, we actually need it. But the point of that was more deeper than surface level what Jesus was getting at. It was she was drawing her strength. She was bringing these big jugs of water, all this pain, all this suffering that's weighing on her, and she's trying to draw her strength from a place that isn't going to sustain her. And Jesus was trying to get that to her. And then this woman who... Now, both of these women are different, but both of the stories kind of line up. And I really, really like the woman who suffered blood, because she immediately got healed, right? Immediately was healed of what she was going through. But we see that when Jesus was asking her about it, like proclaiming what I've done for you, she was hiding. She didn't want to talk about it. Why? Well, it said she feared. She thought if she could be healed, she would just touch his cloak, because she thought. She also had fear. Well, and then Jesus also said, "Go in peace." So you got fear, and then you got peace, and then Jesus healed. So where does peace and fear reside? Right here. She thought if she could be healed by just touching his cloak. She was fearing. And she also was set free. And Jesus said, "Go in peace." So why, after Jesus, who healed this woman, would say to her, "Go in peace, you've been healed"? Why would he say that? Because she was still afraid. She was still fearing. "Though I've been healed, though we go through something that Jesus healed us, I'm still afraid. We went through a season where Jesus set us free for something, and then we go through another season, and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm still afraid. I don't know what's going on." And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you've been healed. Go in peace." Be set free of the suffering that you've gone through. I went through a season. I don't know why I went through that season. I was set free, but I don't know. I'm still afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. I've never been here before. I've never been this way before. I got all this pain that I'm still carrying from a season to season to season. I don't know what's going to happen. And Jesus says, be healed, be set free. Let go of the fear. There are some things that we just can't control. And there are just some things that even after we've been healed of something, that there's still that residual stuff that lingers that Jesus still has to heal us from. And this woman who, so both of them are a little bit different, and Jesus needed to really explain to this woman who he is and what he came to do. The other woman probably already had an idea of that and knew that. And so both of them are different, but they're also the same. Because she came and fell at his feet and told him everything she'd ever done, the woman at the well. Jesus met that woman who was suffering blood. She fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. Same thing. There's sometimes when Jesus approaches us and we're so afraid, we don't know if we want to talk to him because we're still afraid of what we've gone through and if we're going to be ridiculed and he's going to be mad at us, and he's not. And so we drop at his feet and we just tell him everything and we get healed, we get set free, and that fear goes away. It's the same thing with the woman at the well. Same thing. She was going through something and Jesus told her everything she ever did and he healed her and he set her free. And what I really, really, really love, and I think sometimes we can miss it, she left her water jars. So she came looking for water, right? So we got to remember she had to go at noon because the people in the town didn't like her. They couldn't look at her. When she would probably go in the morning with the women, they would probably ridicule her. They probably wouldn't want to go with her. And so she was shameful. She probably couldn't look at herself, and so she wanted to be alone, right? I think most of us sometimes when we're going through something, we just want to be alone. We don't want to talk to anyone. And she's walking up there. Now imagine how much those water jugs weigh. So it's not like she was walking up there with like maybe a 2-gallon bucket. Those jars were probably about this high, right? And they're cement, like they're thick and they're heavy. And she had to pick them up. I would imagine she had some kind of stick that connected them together and she's carrying them on her back. So she's literally having pain in her back. She's literally carrying this weight, these jugs of water. And she's going there and she's probably, it's so hot and she's struggling, trying to get that water out. And then you got Jesus there telling you and talking to you and you just don't want him to talk to you because you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to talk to him. You don't want someone to sit there and tell you everything you've ever done, but Jesus being Jesus, just patient, sitting there, talking to her, having a conversation. And then over time, as Jesus starts talking with her, and she leaves the water jars and runs back to the town. So you can imagine that walk up that mountain or that hill had to have been tiresome. Like, she's probably thirsty, really, really thirsty. And she's probably tired. She's in pain. And she just drops that water and she runs right back down to town. So clearly it wasn't about the water. She was bringing something to a season that she had to let go of. And there's some things that we bring into seasons that for us to be set free, for us to be healed, we have to let go of what we're carrying. And she dropped it. The woman with the issue of blood, dropped at Jesus' feet and told him everything he ever did. And she healed him. He healed her of that pain, just like he did with the woman at the well. She was coming to this season with all this weight, the shame, the guilt, the fear, the pain of being misused and mistreated by men after men and all these things, and she just can't deal with it anymore. And right when all that pressure was building and everything around her was feeling like it's about to crash down, Jesus met her in the middle. He met her right in the middle. So if you look at the well, it's a transitional point, a literal transition point. So you go up the mountain, there's the well, you come back down the mountain. It's a transition. You're going up to back down. It's a transition from not having any water and nothing to now having water when you come back down. And Jesus met her at the well in the middle of everything that she was suffering from. He met her in the middle. And for us, we're going through something and we feel like we don't want anyone to see what we're going through, and we don't want to talk to anyone, and we don't want anyone to deal with us, and we got all this pain, all this suffering. We're in this transitional season that doesn't make any sense. We have no idea what Jesus is going to do. He is right there in the middle. And he doesn't let go. When she wasn't understanding, and when she was calling him out for the things that Jews do, because she's upset at the way that they were doing things, Jesus didn't stop. Jesus didn't let go of her. The woman with the issue of blood, he could have just healed her and left. He could have not said anything. She could have just touched his cloak, been healed, and been fine. But that wasn't the point of the story. It's great that she was healed of blood, but there was something else that was in her that needed to be healed. Deeper. There's something deeper. There's something in our well that's deeper, that's lingering, that we need to let go of, that's still stirring and it's stewing. And we don't know what it is sometimes, but there's something there that we need to let go and something we need to be set free of. And when we start drawing our water, and when we're working out and we're trying to get nourishment from bad food or wrong places, over time our muscles become deteriorated and we start to get overtrained and we get spent. We get a burnout because we're trying to do things on our own, from our own strength, from our own will. We can't. We can't do it. Because we're going to get tired. We're going to get spent. Jesus was tired. This woman at the well was spent. She has had enough of being treated like garbage. The woman with the issue of blood, she was tired of going from one doctor to one doctor to one doctor with the same problem every single time. She was tired. She's been spent. And Jesus, who was tired, and Jesus, who was probably getting a little bit spent, met these women in the middle of everything that they were going through, everything that they've ever done. And Jesus met them there and took all of that pain and all of that suffering and took it and healed them of it. And the woman who in the street was going through the issue of blood, she had something deeper that was still there, something that was still lingering. She was now going in from one season to another one. So she got healed, and now she's about to enter into this other season, and she was still afraid, right? She was still afraid of what she has gone through. She's probably still afraid that she's also a woman, and so if she was to go proclaim what she's done, she's probably afraid that she was going to get rebuked by it. She's probably afraid that, you know, she approached Jesus. She approached a man. She touched his cloak. I mean, that was like a no, 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 no. You don't do that. You don't go anywhere near that. But she didn't. So she's probably afraid and trembling with fear that, you know, Jesus is upset. Super upset with what I've done. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And she goes and just drops at his feet and just tells him everything he did. And because she's still afraid. She's been set free. All this blood in her that was boiling, and she's been freed of it. And she goes to his feet, trembling in fear of everything she has ever done, and just lets it all out there for Jesus. And he just tells her, daughter, you've been healed. Go in peace. And so in this season, and we're trying to bring that pain to our season. We've been set free. You've been healed. This is a transitional season that we don't know what's going to happen. And right now in our church, we don't know what's going to happen, right? But we have a God who knows. We have a God who's been doing this before, 6,000 years ago. He's been it with us every step of the way. He knows. So Jesus said to this woman, I know you're afraid. I know this doesn't make sense. I know you don't know what's going to happen. And I know you're afraid. Go in peace. You've been healed. Go in peace.